Tonight, Sony wants to know what you think they should do with the PS3. But the question I have is, where did the PSP Go go? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of March 21st, 2010. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
So how's your brackets doing? I didn't fill any out. Yeah. What a year for that. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us here on All Games Radio. You just, and you weren't here about 10 minutes ago, you just missed Scott Rubin. See, that's why you should be a part of the All Games community outside of when the shows are on, because you never know when something might happen. Chat.allgames.com is the chat room. You can be kept abreast of everything. Abreast, yes, I said that. Abreast of everything going on here in the All Games community on All Games Radio and here on the All Games Network. And that's where we are right now. Going to be taking your intelligent calls about video games throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-866-880-0156, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. This is the final Friday before many of you, most likely, will be descending upon Boston, because PAX East is next weekend, Penny Arcade Expo. I had planned on going until about 2 months ago. That's when I finally decided I just could not afford it, couldn't make it this year, so I will unfortunately not be heading to PAX East. I am still working on getting to PAX Prime up in Seattle, but I want to know how it is. I want to know how PAX East is, because it's going to be a smaller version of PAX Prime, and it's going to be interesting to see how it works out on its first year. Usually, the first year is kind of shaky with things like this. So, if you're going, I hope you have a lot of fun. I do know Sky from Orange Lounge Radio; he is going to Boston next week, so you'll have somebody up there at least from the All Games community. But I will unfortunately not be there. And some people are probably very happy about that. So have fun at PAX East. I haven't even looked, since I'm not going. I haven't really looked at like who's exhibiting. I mean, I'm sure that all the big ones are exhibiting, and you might get to see the PlayStation Move somehow there. So you get to try it before everybody at GDC got to try it, but most people can't get into GDC. So it'll be interesting to see what they show. And be sure to let me know next week. Call in or something. So have fun, have a safe trip if you're heading up to Boston next weekend, and have fun. Also, one other thing, a little bit of quick news about something that someone here in the All Games community, we've talked about this game here on the past, but I want to congratulate Derek H., who is the host of Dead Pixel Live here on the All Games Network, Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. He is also an indie Xbox indie games developer. He created a Revenge of the Ball last year, and this year he put out You Will Die. Both of them are 80 space bucks on the Xbox Live indie games marketplace. And You Will Die this week got the distinction of being the first ever Xbox indie game to have an official scoreboard with Twin Galaxies, which is the official governing body of the Guinness Book of World Records video game scoreboards. So you can now become a legitimate world champion in You Will Die, according to Twin Galaxies, and you might be able to get your name in Guinness. So congratulations to that. Congratulations to Derek H. for getting all that worked out. There was it's a very difficult game. I'm not even good enough to make it on the actual leaderboards in the game. So it's cool. It's only 80 space bucks, $1. Goes to a good cause. I guess Derek H. is a good cause, maybe. It's a good game, and you should at least try it out. But really, you should buy it. I'm I'll be nice and say you should at least download the trial and try it out. But what you should do is you should download the trial, try it, and then buy it, because that looks better, because it, you know, says you tried the game and then bought it instead of just bought it outright, I think. So congratulations to Derek on that. DeadPixelArcade.com is the website to find out more about his games, and especially You Will Die. ActDef in our chat room says indie games suck because XNA is not available in Mexico, and also because he probably cannot steal them. Bauer CTU says the good cause is the Derek Hopkins Wallet Fund. I guess that's a good cause. Dark Tetsuya is asking me about E3. I am still planning on going to E3. I am kind of trying to get the details of that sorted out. But yeah, I'm still going to E3. I just had to cut out some of the, you know, travel because, you know, buying a house kind of does that to you. Amaze Satsuma says he made it to level 7 and You Will Die, and I am jealous. I made it to level 4. You have to be level 5 to make it on the scoreboards. And I couldn't even make level 5 before he made the game harder, because the game was easier when it first came out. You could move faster. Dark Tetsuya says, so does You Will Die have a kill screen? I would probably answer that as no, because you always die before you get to the kill screen. So, we're going to talk a little bit about some Sony stuff. That's the news that I want to kind of cover. It's we're going to go Sony based, and you want to, it's kind of interesting. As much of an X-Bot as I am, quote unquote, I have actually been playing my PS3 a lot this year, a lot more than my 360. The games that I have really kind of played for personal use, have all been PS3 games. Even the one that was multi-platform, I played on the PS3, even though it was better on the 360. The first game, that Bayonetta, I played on the PS3. Right now, going through Final Fantasy 13 on the PS3, I am still liking it. I'm about 25, 26 hours in now, and I still like it. And just so everybody knows, I still have not heard the song from the X Factor winner. So 25 hours in, the song's not even heard. You don't even hear it yet. I do really like it, and I've had some people tell me why I'm stupid for liking it, because it's, you know, it breaks all the conventions. We talked about it a lot last week, so I'm not going to get back into it. But I'm still liking it, and it's still keeping me up at night. And then I go to bed and try to do paradigm shifts. That's not good. But Sony has been in the news a lot lately, because, you know, last week we talked about the PlayStation Move, their answer to the Wii. This week, they started asking you what you think they should do. So I guess they've kind of figured out that, you know, maybe, you know, those of us that are consumers are not exactly as stupid as companies make us think we are, I guess. So they have actually started to ask us what we want, and it's called PlayStation Share, or PlayStation.blog Share. You can go to it yourself, share.blog.us.playstation.com, and it's basically, if you have an idea to improve the PlayStation experience, they want to know about it, and it's like a dig type system, where, you know, somebody posts it, posts something, and then you can either vote it up or down. It's got a whole, like they say right now, there's 629 ideas submitted by the community, and 452,000 votes. Well, 453,000 votes. It's 991, so it's close enough to 453. So you can download, or you can vote on these things. And I'm why don't we go through some of these? Because, I mean, there's actually some good ideas that, you know, we've been saying for years in the communities. So the most popular ideas currently that users want PlayStation 3 to have, the top one, cross game voice chat. It would be nice for us to communicate with our friends online while playing different games using our official PS3 Bluetooth headset. What about the non-official headsets? I don't have an official PS3 Bluetooth headset, so I'm going to vote that down. No, just kidding. They want to be able to do cross-game voice chat. The second most popular, software emulation for PS2 games. Boy, do I wish they could actually do that. That is, since the Emotion Engine isn't in the system. It's kind of hard for them to completely do software emulation. Yes, it's possible for some games, but you're going to have like an Xbox situation where not everything is going to be playable. So I don't know if you're going to get software emulation for all PS2 games or not, but that's the second most wanted. Third most wanted, auto-syncing trophies. When you acquire a trophy in-game, the trophy should sync to the network without the user having to go to their profile or the trophy section and choosing sync. I agree with that, because a lot of people lost trophies because they don't auto-sync. Remember the whole Sony Apocalypse thing. Continuing to go on through here, some people are, new avatars, fix the web browser. When you press the PS button, auto-read the message upon notification. So, if you received a message, if you hit the PlayStation button, they want to go directly to the message. Make PS2 games downloadable via the store. Separate PSN logins for each player. So, if you're playing, say, Rock Band or something, and you have your profile, and then you can have your second player, they have their own PlayStation profile, they can log in. Kevin Butler hosting the E3 Sony press conference. Kevin Butler is the actor that plays the vice president of everything at Sony, and they want him to host the press conference. That'd be kind of cool. Power the USB when the PS3 is off. Which is kind of, because that happened to me earlier, I had to charge my controller, and you can't do it unless the PS3 is on. More remastered PS2 titles, like the God of War collection. Skype for PS3, in-game XMB customization, blah, blah, blah. APIs, some developers want some APIs. In-game music for all titles, that's not going to happen because of the way the PlayStation 3 is architecture. Here's one. I was kind of surprised by this, that this actually has votes. Storage of saved games online. So they want the cloud computing of where your saved games are stored online. If we were able to keep all copy-protected saves included online on the PSN, it would make those of us who play on multiple systems happy. Plus, it would offer backup in case of hardware failure. So they want the idea of their game saves not being saved locally. So if something happens to your internet or something, you can't get to your saved games. Interesting. But one thing that I've kind of noticed when I'm looking through all this, it's kind of funny. With the exception of the one I just read, storage of saved games online, and the Skype, most of these are Xbox 360 features. Just about everything that they've said in this, there's maybe some exceptions, the Xbox 360 has been doing since the beginning. And I think that's more because, Sony is a hardware company and Microsoft is a software company. So Microsoft has crappy hardware but great software. Sony has great hardware, but the software is lagging behind. So I think that's kind of interesting. What would you think? What do you want? What would you put on PlayStation.blogshare? What have you put on there? Roxy Bear in chat says, my PS3 has been getting a lot of attention in the past 2 weeks. Arcade games are much better on the PS3, in my opinion. I know Mega Man 10 came out. If I was going to get it, since it has an easy mode, I'd be getting it on the PS3. Spyro says, in the future, we're going to control games with our minds. That's called the PS9. SSJ100 Matt, going all the way back to PAX East, says, his friend is going to have a booth at PAX East showing off his Xbox Live indie games with Mommy's Best Games. They did Weapon of Choice, and they've got a new game coming out as well. We actually had him on the show, the guy from Mommy's Best Games. Dark Tetsuya says they're going to go for all DLC for PS2 games like everyone else is doing. How else will they make people pay for the privilege of playing stuff they already own? Tiger Claw wants me to point out the guy's name is not actually Kevin Butler. So Kevin Butler is the character that the actor plays. Because some people actually do think that Kevin Butler is the vice president of something at Sony. They don't realize it's an ad, because he does actually have the Kevin Butler character has a Twitter, so people think that Kevin Butler is a real person. Jerry Lambert, or Lambert, I don't know if it's like Colbert or Colbert, but Jerry Lambert, and he does many commercials. That's the Kevin Butler guy. Spyro says Microsoft should get internet browser and things like that for the Xbox 360. Microsoft has said on multiple occasions they're not going to put a browser in there because they don't want to compete with Windows. That's not really what they say, but they basically say that they consider the Xbox 360 a gaming and media center and not necessarily something that's going to replace your PC. Because, what comes after, internet? Everybody's like, can I get Word on my Xbox 360? Can I do PowerPoint? You can. It's called XNA. create your PowerPoint in XNA. I did that once in college, except it was DirectX, like 5, I think. But instead of, it was before PowerPoint. But I had like a game controller, and that was how I clicked to the next slide, and I had my computer in there, and you know, with speakers and everything. Yeah, I was a nerd. Heart Gold Bits, I guess that's Bacon Bits, says he wants Sony to give him a free PS3. I wonder why that's not popular on here. Give everybody free PS3s. So, so PlayStation blog, share. So it's share.blog.us.playstation.com. Vote. Put in your own ideas. I wonder if I could somehow get to, like, the least popular idea. I'm going to see if I can get to the least. This is great radio, I know. Remove copy protection from game save files. Currently watching automatic installs. The ability to delete trophies with 0%. That's in there. Somebody wants the trophy room in Home. That was like what Home was supposed to be about, was having that trophy room. Go Home. All game titles on PSN should have screenshots. There's some good things in here. I'm still trying to go down to what the least popular ones are. PSP emulation on the PS3. Somebody wants the blog incorporated into it. Increased limit cap on friends. I don't know who else has that problem. Voice messages, cross-game invites, deactivate old PS3s if you've lost or if it's broken, lower cost of repairs, ability to use web browsers at any time so that way you can have the GameFAQs page on the web browser while you're actually playing the game. That would actually be helpful sometimes. I use my iPod Touch for that if I really need to use it. More cloud save gaming, native Netflix. There's some decent ideas in here. Some of them I don't think are worth it, but that's just me. So anyway, I'm not going to waste time anymore going through that. But go ahead and if you care about your PS3 experience, let them hear you. Hopefully it'll do some good. I really do hope that this does some good for Sony. But something that didn't do very good for Sony was the PSP Go. So the PSP Go was a slimmer, sleeker PSP with less features and a smaller screen, but internal memory. And it also cost like $80 more than the original big, fat PSP. And Sony said this was going to revolutionize the handheld gaming industry. And, they probably should have had like a share blog up first before they released it, did some focus testing. So this is like an IDG News, Wire News service reporting talking about this. But they basically say that when Sony launched this PSP Go last year, the company had high hopes. The device was supposed to help PlayStation Portable shipments increase by almost 1 million units for the year and spearhead Sony's digital download push into the portable gaming market. But things haven't gone according to plan. The PSP Go is both smaller and lighter than the original PSP and represents the first major refresh of the portable gaming platform since it was introduced in 2004. So blah, 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 blah. Gamers were not impressed. In the first week of March in Japan, so of this year, March 2010, the latest version of the original PSP, so the PSP 3000, sold 60,808 units. So that's the PSP 3000 with the UMD slot and no internal memory. According to the estimates for Media Create, the PSP Go sold, you ready for this, 1,275. That's right, 59,000 less than the less sophisticated version. Total sales for the PSP Go so far this year in Japan are 23,455 versus average weekly sales of 70,000 units of the PSP. So the PSP 3000 is selling 70,000 a week. The PSP Go sold 23,000 this calendar year. Yeah, it didn't work as well as Sony expected. So basically, what some people are saying, you know, there was confusion in the marketplace about what it was really for. And also, you know, people didn't want to upgrade to the PSP Go because if you already had UMDs, you couldn't play your games because they abandoned their, sinking and whatever of your UMD games. there was going to be a way of owners of PSP software with discs, a way to transfer it to the discless PSP Go, and they decided not to do that right around launch. So you had this PSP Go, and you couldn't play any of your existing games. You had to buy them all again. And to be fair, you know, yeah, the digital download push is good, and, you know, the ability to save games to your internal memory is good, but you can do that on the PSP 1000. I can do that on my launch day PSP that I have sitting over here. That's how I got Persona. It's a download code. You don't need the new expensive PSP Go to be able to do that. So there are rumors out there, and I don't like commenting on rumors, but here it is. The rumor is that they are going to be killing the PSP Go. Some retailers don't even want to stock them. I mean, the big name, the big box retailers will stock them, but essentially, you know, they won't see you again. Because you buy the PSP Go, and then you'll never have to go. You can't go to the store to buy a game. Retailers aren't going to like this, so they're not going to promote it and push it as much as they would the regular PSP, because they can't sell you games. They can't sell you things after it. So, no word on a price cut yet, but there's some hints and stuff and some things that they're considering doing. So, we haven't really talked that much about the PSP Go. I mean, the PSP is a good system. I haven't seen that many games for it. But then again, I also don't play on my DS. I play more, believe it or not, as much as I made fun of it, I play more on my iPod Touch. And what's ironic is that's completely digital download. You can't buy iPod Touch games in a store either. Maybe the iPhone did kill portable gaming. The DS Lite is also really doing well in Japan. Not really the DSi and the LL or XL or whatever it's called, but the DS Lite is still doing really well. Dark Tetsuya says, I haven't heard a claim that bold since the time they said Rumble is so last gen about the digital download revolution. Apple beat you guys to it, that's what I think. Bauer CTU says, I recommend dumping all the PSP Goes into a landfill. Oh wait, that's been done before. More times than you know. Spyro says, I use my PSP to listen to internet radio, and that's it. It does good for that. Bauer CTU says that the phone is killing the gaming star. What Up G says that the DSi XL comes out like next Sunday here in the U.S. I think that's what it is. I'm not sure. But, you know, there may be a DS2 at E3, so you may want to hold off. So, sorry to hear that about your troubles there, Sony, but hey, at least now you're starting to listen to the people on the internet, which I would also actually advise against listening to people on the internet, because really, people on the internet only tell you what they think if they don't like it. You don't hear that meant much of, hey, I love what you're doing. You know, I love this game. No, because if you like the game, you're playing it. You're not posting on a message board saying about how you're all butthurt that there's no town in it, even though I was in a town in Final Fantasy XIII last night. It had a lot of people in it and everything, and they were all talking and stuff. Yeah. Okay, so there were no shops I could buy from, but there was still a town filled with people. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls. I know, you know, one game the big game that came out this week that we didn't really talk about all that much was God of War 3, and the reason I didn't talk about it is because I haven't played it, other than the demo. I've played the E3 demo, but I have not played the full game. Apparently, it is amazing. It's really, really good. It's something I will probably check out either if I could ever get it from Gamefly or whenever it drops in price. Like I said, I can't afford to go to Boston next month, and I also can't afford to buy every top game that comes out. So, you can call in about that if you have, you know, opinions on God of War 3. Tell me how it is. I did play a little bit of Perfect Dark. I'll, you know, talk about that a little bit while we're waiting for people to call in. Didn't really play it too much, but I'll talk a little bit about that on the Xbox Live Arcade version after this music break that you won't hear on the podcast if it ever goes up. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to Bobby B. You know he'll probably be remembered in history as the greatest on MP3. Your chance to call up now, number in the U.S. toll free. 1-866-880-0123.
1-5-6 out at homie. Bobby Black will show on Skype. Online you can hit that's off the Trizak. Sit back, Bobby Blizak is Bizak.
Somebody who really loves God of War 3, that's Pen15. He used to call all the time. Now he has a real job and can't be here on Sunday nights, and then the podcast thing doesn't get updated. I'm going to open up the phone lines in the Skype line for you to call in about God of War 3 gaming. If you're going to PAX East, you tell me. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. And also, a game that I did play this week is Perfect Dark on Xbox Live Arcade, which is basically, it is a port of the Nintendo 64 title, the successor to GoldenEye. We're not going to get GoldenEye, unfortunately, because of basically Activision. No, I think EA now owns the rights to 007, but Activision owned it, and then Nintendo owns part of the rights to the code. Rare owns the other part, and then so they would have to let Microsoft have it. And I don't think Nintendo wanted Microsoft to have it, or it was, I don't remember what it was. We covered it on the show when it happened, because they had actually started working on it. So they did Perfect Dark instead. And it actually is more of a faithful port recreation than you believe, because they actually, when you boot up the cartridge, it actually has like all this technical specifications about if you have the expansion pack installed in the N64. They actually recreate that on the Xbox 360 and stuff. And it's like almost shot for shot, the little opening logos. I mean, yeah, it doesn't have the Nintendo logo now. It's the Microsoft logo, and they do some other stuff. But it's basically, it's a 60 frames a second, high-def, low-quality texture version of Perfect Dark. Same voices, same voice actors. They basically just took all the audio files from 10 years ago and put it up. With Xbox Live Play. So now you can play on Xbox Live, or you can do the four-player split-screen multiplayer against each other, or two-player co-op or counter co-op or whatever they are. I think what they wanted, I don't know if it was, you know, it would also be on WiiWare or something, if it would be some joint, because, I mean, from what I understand, and it's kind of interesting, Nintendo and Microsoft don't actually hate each other. You know, they're kind of ambivalent to each other. Like, Microsoft praises Nintendo, and Nintendo's like, yeah, we know. So, because they are kind of neighbors, they are near each other in Redmond. So, it sucks that they couldn't work something out. But we got Perfect Dark, and a lot of people said, "Yeah, it's not as good as I remember," which is basically the way most of those games are from that era. You loved them as a kid; you thought the graphics were amazing. You look at it today, and you're like, "Oh, I like that. What was I thinking?" Amaze Satsuma says, I wish multiplayer started you with a weapon. That would have made last night a lot more fun. Or maybe Friday night. We played it on my show, Friday Night Gaming, because we didn't want to show God of War 3 for safety reasons of our account. But yeah, you start off with fists, which is a, you know, kind of a thing that's kind of what Perfect Dark is about, I guess. Is you start with your fists, and if somebody's near you and you spawn, they can kill you, and all you have are your fists. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is X-Link. I'm so sorry about that, Bobby. I pulled out the cord by accident.
Oh, geez. Making me look bad over here.
No, it was my fault. It made me look bad, actually. I'll take the blame for it, not you.
All right, so what's up? What's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to call in to talk about, you know, it was kind of funny you talk about, you know, PlayStation and PlayStation Network and all that and the PS Go. And I think another part of it, too, was because the PS Network, when I look at the games and stuff on the PSN, compared to that of, say, like the UK or that of Japan, we really getting, I guess you could say, screw out of the content. I mean, a lot of stuff that people want, we're not getting over here, and nobody's giving out answers as to what's going on. Now, guarantee you, Squaresoft 2 years ago, or now Square Enix, 2 years ago said, okay, we're going to give you more games, we're going to give you like 12 titles, but it's funny because now compared to 2 years ago, there's only been 4 or 5 titles that they had released onto the network, onto the storefront. My question is, where are all these games people are asking for? And it's funny because on the share, people are having mixed reviews. They're like, yeah, I want them. And then a lot of people are, yeah, not really. But it's kind of interesting seeing which way this whole dispute is going. And I think it would do a lot better if they put out some actual classic PS1 titles that people would want to buy.
But the only PS1 title anybody cares about is Final Fantasy VII. You know this.
No. yes and no. I mean, I would like to see stuff like Parasite Eve. Yeah. Xenogears was another big one people were waiting for, because I remember seeing that a lot of the responses for the comments for the games they were supposedly going to bring out. You know, I would like to see a lot of the classic, you know, more classic games we grew up with, other than that of, you know, maybe Square Enix, but I'm just using that as a broad example. But
yeah.
You know, you're bringing out these like mom and pop third party type games, and it's like, what? I'm going to spend $6 on what now? So,
why do you hate indie developers?
I don't hate indie developers.
You just said you did.
No.
You just said they're not deserving of your money.
Okay. not all games. Okay. Not all the games, because there's a lot of the games I have bought that were from indie developers. But there is some that are just absolutely just a little too expensive, let me put it that way. So, I mean, if the price was a little bit down, I wouldn't have a problem with it just as much. But, you know, everybody has their own flavor when it comes to certain type of games and tastes. But, you know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, my thing is, you know, with, you know, I'm still kind of, you know, going back and forth on the whole downloadable content, because on one hand, I do buy PlayStation Network games and I do buy Xbox Live games, but I also miss the physical disc. You know, yes. I wish I had, you know, I wish I could find, like, for instance, I'm going to use a PSP title. As I played the demo of it, and it actually looks really cool. Half Minute Hero. Was that what's?
Yes.
Yeah, Half Minute Hero. It looks really cool. I mean, and I'd heard about it, but I never actually played it until I got around to playing the demo. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I wish I could have it as a UMD, you know, mm-hmm. and for some reason I think it's available as a UMD somewhere, because I think I've seen it like on, like, if you look online you can actually find it, but I don't know if that's like just a download code.
No, you can buy it as a UMD.
Yeah,
they have it for sale at certain places, which I'm not going to name any places, but
yeah, and I haven't seen it at any of those places. So, but you know, but I mean, stuff like that. You know, I'm not if. I guess the way that I am is if it's available in both, I would rather have it a disc,
mm-hmm.
a physical copy. Even if I can install it to my hard drive, that's fine.
Oh, definitely.
But you know, I kind of like, I'm old school, I'm old fashioned, I'm old. And I like having physical copies of things, because then when, you know, Xbox Live goes down, I can still play my games.
Correct.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it would, me, I'd rather play Final Fantasy VII from the disc anyway than buy it from the store. But that, then again, I also still have a good copy of Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII and stuff. And I have, you know, I'm lucky to still have a lot of the games that you mentioned.
Yes,
in my collection. But I mean, I know that not everybody does. So
no.
You know,
and it'll give a good chance for people who never played any of these games to play them.
Right.
Like I know some of the chatters had said, like Metal Gear Solid, for example, which is an awesome game for the PlayStation.
Yes.
You know, Devil Dice was another one that was mentioned, which is another awesome game, which I would wish it would be released. But a lot of it seems like, I don't know if it's just a problem of them bringing it out for the right price, or if it's they're a problem with Sony, or if they're holding back for some odd reason after all these years. I just would like to know as to what goes around and how this comes about and how do these games actually would be released, which is kind of interesting.
Well, I think what it might be is that it might just be some suits that think, oh, you know, we got to spend all this time to convert it into a playable, you know, file format and stuff, and do the testing to make sure it works, because even though it should work because it's, you know, pretty good emulation, they still got to test through it all.
Yeah.
And you know, the Final Fantasy games are not short games. And, you know,
no.
It's, I mean, and those are not as linear as 13. So it's, you know, they've got to test a lot. And they just may decide it's not worth the manpower for Parasite Eve, which, yes, is a good game, but it may not have a big audience today.
Yeah,
and they may think that it would cost too much for them to, because they've got to get it rated. I don't know if it was, I don't know if they have to re-rate it for the ESRB, if they can use the original ESRB rating for it. But you know, they got to go through all that process and the testing, the QA, and the submissions, and making sure that it works on all of them, and it makes sure it works on Leap Year. It just may be too expensive for them and they may not think that they're going to get enough sales to cover it, and that may be why you didn't see, you know, you don't see them. I mean, I'd love to know how many Final Fantasy VII and VIII they've sold.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they're the top selling, but I don't know how many.
It's just interesting seeing these types of things. You know, like you would hear about, like, say, Vanguard Story, never been released here in the U.S., but yet it was released over in the store in, you know, like United Kingdom or in Japan. It's like, okay, well, if they have it over there, why can't we have it over here? And there's no answer. Somebody's like, well, here's the reason why. You know, so that's what my main concern was. It was kind of interesting seeing some of these things I shared that keep like popping up over and over again for some of these stuff. So, I mean,
maybe they'll listen. I mean, that's kind of what I'm hoping. You know, I mean, I've been hard on Sony in the past, but I'm hoping that maybe this will kind of, you know, help them. Here's what I think PlayStation Share is. I think there are some smart people at Sony that work in the blog side, on the community management side. And they're like, how can we convince these non-gamer executives and shareholders that we need to spend resources on this? What do shareholders and executives understand? Numbers. So what I think the guys that actually made the PlayStation Share, they're trying to prove a point to their superiors. That's what I think this is. So I'm hoping that it works. I'm hoping that, you know, this will kind of, they can say, look, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have said we want cross game voice chat. Let's get some developers and do it. You know, and you know, they probably have been saying that. They're like, no, we don't believe you. We don't. Our market research says that they don't care about cross game voice chat. Well, now they've got actual numbers. Granted, it's not scientific, but they've got numbers to show them, and they understand numbers more than they understand, you know, a techie saying, hey, this would be a good idea if we did it.
But it's a start, though, to mm-hmm. be a step in the right direction.
Right.
Correct.
So,
which, that's very interesting to see. You know, it was very interesting going through on the first couple of days when they had it up and going through and seeing what people were saying, and people saying yes, and then there was like a lot of them like user ratings. People were like, no user ratings. That's, you know, we don't want to see that, and we don't want to be kind of like going the same way route. You know, the people don't want to go the same route as Microsoft. So it's interesting to see the positive with the negative and comparing the two.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Somebody else was actually trying to call in during that call, so hopefully I only take one call at a time. So now's his chance to call in on Skype. So we have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Pimp Method.
Pimp Method, what is up? What's on your mind?
Two things. First of all, offline, the Perfect Dark thing. I think the game is a great game just for like people who want to go back to the old days. This will make a great alternative to the stimulus package of the Modern Warfare 2. I mean, I am a big fan of the game, but $15 for 5 maps, no thanks.
And aren't some of those maps like older maps that you've already played in previous Call of Duty games?
Two of them, mm-hmm. two out of the five, though, but still, it's like 5 maps for $15. I wouldn't understand if it was like 8 maps for $15, but 5? No thanks.
I think that's hogwash. Anyway,
ha ha ha, very funny. You're going to hear something from my lawyer soon. About the people who want like the golden eye, I got some like very harsh news. Mm-hmm. Get over it. Legal.
Yeah.
Legal.
Yeah, thing. It's all legal reason.
Support this game. Seriously, yeah. Support this game. You still got like a few mats out of the mm-hmm. Alpha and Golden Eye, plus you got some of the weapons. Mm-hmm. Support this game. My second question is mainly about like PAX East. even though I won't be able to go, I am like a bit concerned about like one thing, and I think we actually discussed this while we was at the airport, mainly about the independent press. I already know about free independent community people who would be going to PAX, and I have all let them know it could be different from them because it is being run by a different company. So really, that's like my main thing to be looking out is how to go treat like individual medias.
Yeah, and well, even last year at PAX Prime, it changed because I knew this because I had worked with the same people for like the first couple PAXes that I went to, and then this past year it was a completely new set of people, and I had to start basically back at square one. That's why we didn't do any live broadcasts from PAX this year, is because we couldn't convince the new guys to let us do. Even if all we wanted to do was exactly the same thing we had done the year before, they didn't see the point in it. But it's they're still more open than E3, and it's the people aren't going not because they can't get in. It's probably more because they just can't swing it. That's why I'm not going. I could, you know, they probably would have treated. I'm hoping to hear that they treat everybody well. And from what I heard, the guy that was running PAX Prime, the volunteer, the enforcer that was running the media for PAX Prime, was hoping to be running it for PAX East as well. Yes, the convention itself is being run by a New York based company instead of by Penny Arcade, but they are still using a lot of the same volunteer and enforcer talent. So there's hope. But that's a very good point you bring up. Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
And one thing I do want to say, Perfect Dark on Xbox Live Arcade, it's only 800 space bucks, so it's $10. And yeah, you get the whole new game, and they've even added some stuff into it. So it's not exactly the same game. But he reminded me of something. I actually got a question from my neighbors. It's husband and wife. And the wife, her favorite game was GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64. And all they have a PS3 and a Wii. And they actually asked me, you know, look, we loved GoldenEye. GoldenEye was our favorite game. What game today has the same kind of feel as GoldenEye? And I'm like, you know, do you mean story or gameplay? And they're like, it was the gameplay mostly. It was easy to pick up and four people could play on the same TV. And they've been looking and looking and looking for games. And, you know, the answer would have been if they had a 360, it'd be Perfect Dark. Because it's not a difficult shooter to pick up and play. It's a very, you know, it's a simple shooter. It's easy to pick up and play. You can do all the split screen or play online or play split screen online. They've done that too, where you can have two people on one screen and then you can play online. But that would be kind of the perfect game for somebody that, you know, wants to play a shooter but is not hardcore enough to handle this stuff. Now, I did like recommended them like Resistance 2 and Call of Duty 4 and things like that because I was told they all have split screen multiplayer. So I think that'd be good. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, and one of them is going to PAX, and I'm jealous. And actually, Sully of War says I should have told him to go get Time Splitters 2 for their PS2. They do not have a backwards compatible PS2. They have a PS3. But we like to check in with our friends over in Sacramento. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you prepared for your cross-country flight?
Yeah. Well, no. But it's coming up. But I still have to pack. I got a lot of stuff to... prepare for coming up. You know, it's really weird because I've had a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. I'm going to be changing jobs in a couple weeks. I just recently moved not that long ago. So, like, this whole PAX East thing, I have not been giving a lot of thought to, which is very strange. And I know that makes it sound like, oh, I don't care. I really do care, but it's kind of one of those things where I don't think I'm really going to realize it until I'm on the plane.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I did go to Fry's Electronics and pick myself up a DAT recorder so I could do some audio out there at PAX East. So there might be, I'm thinking right now there's going to be a special show for the OLR people that will probably like only be on the Twitter and Facebook because we can't be live on Sunday. I'll be on a plane. So Yeah. Actually, no, I step back. I will still be in Boston on Sunday. It's Monday I fly back. So if you remind me to give you my cell, and I can talk to you during next week's show.
Okay. Actually, I think I have your cell phone number, so unless you've changed it. I stalk you.
I don't think so. We'll talk. My people will call your people. We'll make
exactly. I thought of you this week when I was playing some Rock Band.
Did you download the Lady Gaga pack?
No, I did not. I downloaded Eric Cartman.
Ah, yes. You know, I was a little. We played the Eric Cartman songs too. It was funny, but it's one of those things I think is only funny once.
Right, but I'll have enough time to inflict it on people. I think it's $2 well spent because I'm going to make people sing it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's a good party song. If you have a lot of people that come over and play Rock Band, which I think you've said before, when you've had like some early copies of some stuff, you had some people over, having a party. I think they'll enjoy that.
So, but I thought of you because that's the only time I've ever think about Gaga is when I'm around you.
And that's funny because I don't really mean to have, people think of me when they think of Gaga, but okay, I'll take it. I want to point out in our chat room, the OLR chat, because we have separate chats. I don't know why. We just always have. Tiger Claw is asking if we're going to record some video as well at PAX East. I haven't thought about it. My camcorder's still in a box somewhere, I think. If I can get it all together by Wednesday when I fly out, actually Tuesday night, because I'm going to stay overnight before my flight on Wednesday in San Francisco. So if I kind of remember to get it out of a box, I will take it. But otherwise, I'm only planning on audio because I don't know if there's going to be an OLR next week. I don't think Matt and Jamie are going to be live next week unless they know something I don't. So
now I'll be playing Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, Matt's going to play Final Fantasy 13 all night. So there you go.
That's what I've been doing.
Or my arcade cabinet, because I've been noticing it's been collecting dust. And I'm just like, man, I really need to justify spending the money that I did on this. So I'm going to play more arcade games.
Yeah, see, here's the thing about doing like video from conventions is that, you know, it's a great idea in theory. And, you know, like you have fun like taking the video and doing the stuff. But what I've learned, it's then when you get home, that's not really the first thing you want to do is sit there and play with video. Like I took some video at PAX last year and I've never taken it off the tape. I'm such a bad person.
I seem to remember there was like one PAX cast that had the video, which is too bad because it was pretty cool. But yeah, it's a lot of work. Video is a lot of work and audio is just kind of my realm. Like, you know, it's what I've been doing for even before OLR when I was doing college radio, like 11 years ago. That's just kind of like where I've always been. So editing audio is no big deal for me, especially now that I have a DAT recorder where I don't even have to think about it. It's just plug in the USB, open it up in Audition, cut out the silent parts. Hey, I'm good to go. So that's exciting. Video is much more of a pain.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fun. And then when you get to the point where it becomes tedious, then you're like, I don't get paid for this.
Yeah.
But I'm even talking like last year, like not like, all those PAX casts, only one video went up when we did the whole All Games thing. But even last year at PAX, I took video. And we've never done anything with it. It just never came up for us to do it. And so we never showed them. Because we filmed it for my TV show, and then we just never got around to showing them.
Oh. I might, if I have a chance, because Tiger Claw's kind of like, you don't have a flip, you don't have a digital camera that doesn't. No, I have an actual camcorder that it'll do widescreen and everything, 16:9. It's nice, but if I can find it, I'll at least try to get out there and do like a couple pans of the show floor or something, and I will happily turn it over to Bobby to do on his show if he wants to do something on Friday Night Games. But I don't want to promise nothing. I promise there will be audio. That I can promise. Video, we'll see.
Will you promise to have fun?
Absolutely, I'm going to have fun. I know I know once I get on that plane and the reality sets in, it's going to be awesome. And I'm traveling with a friend of mine who I've known for a long time, and I know she's going to have fun. And then my friend Seg from Umlaut and Telltale, we're all going to be kind of hanging there and having a blast. And he's got a panel, so I'll be at that panel for sure. So it'll be fun.
So are you doing the whole appointment? Are you doing any appointments, or have they been badgering you for appointments, or are you going to be just kind of doing it?
I didn't register as media just so I could just go as a person and not be held to any type of deadlines or nothing. Just me, myself.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember at PAX last year, I turned down every single appointment request. Like, I got them. Like, I'll stop by and say hi, but I'm not going to tell you when. And so because
I'm so. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I save the actual appointments for like E3, which is more formal, and I try to do PAX as the community thing. And I, you know, it was nice because I could actually spend more time with people at PAX because I didn't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, and I'm thinking if I go to E3 this year, which I want to, I think I'll have the time available. I just, we got to, if All Games is doing a thing, we got to talk about whatever thing. What was I going to say outside of the All Games? For PAX, part of the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is I want to see who will talk to me without a media badge.
There you go. I think at PAX more will.
I think they will too, but we'll see. We'll see. That's kind of part of the experiment is far, you know, because there's supposedly this thing about PAX where everybody is supposed to get treated like the media, or maybe reverse, media is supposed to get treated like everybody else. The only exception is that, like, I think media gets to go out on the show floor while they're still setting up for a little bit. That's like the only perk that media supposedly has
on the first day, and that's it.
Yeah, and we're gonna put that to the test.
All right, well, I look forward to it. What are you guys going to be putting to the test tonight?
Well, tonight, I don't know if you're aware, it's really funny that you were talking in the opening of your show tonight about the fact that you were going to be a Sony-centric show tonight, because tonight is episode 360 of Orange Lounge Radio. It's our 360th weekly show, so naturally, we have to tip our hat to the 360. But don't worry if you Xbox, as I like that term you said earlier. We also have some Sony news talking about Mod Nation Racers, a PS3 peripheral that is selling out in Japan. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then we have some Wii news, Pikmin 3, DDR news, believe it or not. It's almost like it's episode one all over again. And we love the OLR game shows. We're going to do Listless tonight because we haven't done that in a while, and it's 360 related, and it's going to be fun. And real quick, we just, like, literally last second interview scheduled with our good buddy from YYR Games, Aaron. They are releasing a new game tonight. So we're going to talk all about what that game is, and it's very retro-tastic looking.
Awesome.
So just for Game Room. Probably cheaper than anything in Game Room, too.
Excellent. I look forward to that. So Orange Lounge Radio is up next in just a little bit. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always. Bye-bye.
Have fun next week. So we will be back. Bobby Blackwell Show will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio. OLR probably, I don't think it's going to be live next week, but hopefully we'll have Rob on the show while my people will call his people. Because I called into OLR last year from PAX Prime, so he owes me. Rob, you owe me. Just saying. But we will be back next Sunday night. Friday Night Gaming this week. Not sure what we're going to be playing. Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on All Games Network in video form. We do not have an audio simulcast of that because it's a video show, and we like having you watch the video, and that helps us with numbers. That whole numbers thing, you know, showing executives and stuff, that's why we want people to watch the video. Feel free to email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, any thoughts and opinions you have on any of these topics. Join our forums at allgames.com and our community here at chat.allgames.com. You never know what's going to happen during the week. There's a lot of shows during the week. You should check them out, all of them, right here at allgames.com. But we would not be able to make the live show work at night here without the help of our chatter. So thank you very much, AGN, Billy OK, Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, Derek H, GK128, The Rob D, Binary 667, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, D5T, DeBlue Guy, Doomplague, Eswat, Funnydale, Havoc 978, Hecht, Kitsune, Maximilian, Shadow Next Gen, Shadows Liar, Stone Raider, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Actef, Matt, Aki Ripper, Alpha Cananagram, Maze Satsuma, Bacon Bits, Bauer CTU, Buchikawa, Brad from Pod Culture, Channel Z, CWA Crispy, Cuddlesworth, D5T, Dark Tetsuya, Deadman Way, Decipher, Disgaea, DJ Dark Knight, Dungeon Buster, Flaming Bozo, Gaudy, Gold Anthro, Gripper01, Hey Jude, J. Irv, Kazan, LazyDay64, Liquid Parrot, Lord Cypher, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, Nutman, Punchy, Ranma, Ruben, Sky, Spyro, SSJ100, Matt, Subzi, Sully of War, The Time Dilation, FFXIII, TM95, Toagak, WhatUpG, WillCon, and Xlink. So that's it. We will have fun. If you are going to PAX East, please travel safely and have fun. Drink a beer for me if you're over 21. If you're not over 21, drink a soda or water or something for me. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.